And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, July 30th, 2016. It's Season 10, Episode 31. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
And that is all. Nate not here, and excuse me, Matt not here either. But RJ and I are here, and we're going to sit with you for the next 2 hours and talk about video games and whatever else comes to mind. Or whatever else you call in and want to talk about. Give us a call, 334-272-9228, 334-272-9228. You can go to ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter. We're there at InGameChat. You can also find us on Facebook. You can email us, everyone, at ingamechat.net. We are streaming on Twitch right now. Go to twitch.tv, type in Game Chat in the search box, and you can find us. You can watch the show and listen to the show, and also chat in the chat room live while we broadcast. So, welcome to the show. Those of you who may not be familiar, this is music from Crackdown. We've been using it since we started this thing. February of 2007, I think is when it was. I believe that's whenever Crackdown came out, because we were giving away copies week to week every time. Giving away copies of that game. So, there is a couple of things vying for your attention during our show right now. I know one of them is a Donkey Kong championship going on, which is something I'd actually like to be watching right now. The finals are tomorrow morning, I believe, at 10 a.m. Eastern. But they're going on, the prelims and everything are going on right now. So that's happening. Then later tonight, some dude's jumping out of a plane without a parachute, and they're going to broadcast that live on TV. But I don't think that'll come in I don't think that'll come into our show. So anyway, welcome everyone to the show. RJ has sent me his, forgive me, he just did this. He sent me his PC part list because RJ's building a PC. And I'm going to look over this real quick because I am just nothing but curious.
Yeah, he's going to have issues with it. I know already.
No. I totally am not. That's a lot of hard drive space.
Yeah, it's always been a thing with me. I can't stand not having enough hard drive space. I always want to have enough because, like I said, when I build these computers, they're going to last me 7-8 years.
But you can add to it, though.
Yeah, but I want to have enough at the start. Yeah.
All right. No, you're fine.
Yeah. 8 terabits sounds fine to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure does. Man. Okay, so you're still lacking, obviously, a power supply.
Yeah, power supply and things like that.
Unless yeah,
my,
okay.
Unless my almost still works. The one I got still works, but I don't know if it's going to hook up to everything in there. So I'll see.
Yeah. All right, cool. See how this goes for you. I haven't researched processors in forever.
Yeah.
So I looking at that one, it's an i5 4690.
Mm-hmm.
Seems fine to me. I have no idea.
Yeah, but significantly better than what I got now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, 7-8 years ago.
Now W. Matthew's like, he only has 1 terabyte. Are you gonna do video it now? He's I don't know what he's gonna do with it, but he is determined to have this much space. That's fine if he wants it. That's totally fine. I think it's overkill. I think you could kill one of those drives.
I've always been overkill when it comes to hard drive space.
Yeah, I think you kill and just use that money for something else for the time being. Because by the time you need a new one to add more to it, the prices mm-hmm. on those will have come down.
Mm-hmm.
Something to consider. That's all. Just, yeah, I want you to build it the way you want to build it, man.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fine. I mean, look at my system now. I've got a, I don't know what the SSD is that's running my operating system, but I don't do anything with that. It's just the operating system is the only thing that's on that SSD. I didn't want to put anything else on it. I didn't want to do anything else with it. I was just, that's all it's going to do. Then I have a 1 terabyte drive. Then I have a 3 terabyte drive. Then I've got 4. And then I bought that that other SSD that was on sale. It's about 960 gigs,
mm-hmm.
almost a terabyte of space for an SSD. So 4 point something terabytes of space on mine.
Mm-hmm.
you know, and I'm doing quite well with it. So
yeah.
No, looks good.
I'll keep adding on.
Yeah, keep adding on. Keep going with it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you need a monitor and everything?
No, I still got my other monitor as well, so I'm good on that right
okay.
now.
Okay, mm-hmm. If you're fine on a monitor, I got a monitor you can pretty much have. Because when I bought my new one, it took the place of my main monitor, so my other one's just kind of sitting on the floor right now, doing nothing. So if you need
that big TV you bought.
That big 37-incher monitor. That's God, it's lovely. Which, by the way, he doesn't have a GPU yet. W. Matthew. The only components that he's got in there right now is a processor, a motherboard, RAM, and then drives out the ear, hard drives out the ear, and then a case. That's all he's got. He has no power supply yet. He has no video card yet or anything like that. So, you know, he's building up to it. So, although I would recommend a 1070 if you decide to look into that. Definitely 1070. Anyway, what I was saying was that normally we go around and talk about what we've played, and I'll just go ahead and start with mine because I realized something that I'd had a lot of problems trying to run Batman again on my system. It was crashing again. And I realized when I was talking to you guys about my new monitor purchase the past 2 weeks. That's fine coffee. I told you how I had tabs aplenty of, you know, Chrome open up and whatever.
Right.
Well, that stuff eats up memory. And as soon as I closed Chrome and then ran Batman with no Chrome in the background or anything, Batman ran fine. Didn't have a single problem. I did get some high CPU temps that I'd never had before. I'd never gotten that warning before saying, hey, your CPU's running a little hot. That had never happened while I was doing that, but yeah, I played it. I started the season of Infamy DLC that adds a penguin side quest.
Penguin Croc.
Is it Croc? I don't know.
I want to say it was a.
I know there's Mad Hatter, and there's Penguin.
Okay.
And there is Mr. Freeze, or at least it seems to be indicating Mr. Freeze. And the one I just did was the League of Assassins, Ra's al Ghul.
Okay.
And then there's one that has claws, which I'm guessing may be Croc.
Okay, yeah.
But I don't know, because claws don't necessarily indicate Croc. It could also indicate, I don't know. Well, you already fight Man-Bat in the game itself.
Mm.
So it's probably Croc. I would think, like, teeth or something would indicate Croc to me. You know?
Or that, or scale, or some scale pattern or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, but it's just,
like
it's, like
that,
a, it's like a claw marks. That's all it is, so... Yeah. I'm not
Let's
sure.
Let's see. Here we go. Let's see. The Season of Infamy, an expansion of the most wanted side missions that you have to play as Batman to take on new supervillains. Let's see. Killer Croc.
So it is Croc.
Mr.
Okay.
Freeze, Mad Hatter, Ra's al Ghul, yeah.
And Penguin. Or no Penguin.
No, it wasn't there. Wow. I thought Penguin was in the main, main story. Nightwing had to track
him down.
You're
right. He is in the main story. Well, it's got a penguin sign on it, doesn't it? It's got a penguin insignia. I don't know. I'll have to look at it again. Yeah. I'll have to look at it again and see.
Well, I'm sorry. Let's see. GCPD Lockdown. Play as Nightwing and take down the Penguin. That was one of the DLCs as well.
That was one of the DLCs, but that's not on the Season of Infamy.
No. Okay.
We do our research during the show, folks. This is how it works. What's best is now that I have your link to your PC part picker list, I can just click on that, and anytime you've updated, I'll see that you've updated it or added something to it or that sort of thing. So.
Yeah.
Glad you're. That's fantastic. Glad you're getting into this. That's fun. It's always fun.
Yeah, like I said, it's been 7-8 years. About due.
I'm glad. I'm really, really glad to see you're gonna get back into that and start doing that. But anyway, so I did play some Batman. Other than that, I played the tiniest bit of Assassin's Creed Syndicate, and a little bit of what else? Did I play something else?
Anything
did I play some more Doom? I may have played some more Doom.
Mm-hmm.
I think I did play a little bit more Doom.
I was about to ask if you did anything with your backlog from Steam, did you?
I didn't touch it, man.
I didn't touch it. Okay.
I didn't touch it. I think about touching it, and then I don't touch it at all. And then I go play Destiny, and that's what I did. Played more Destiny. It's just, you know, Destiny's one of those things where I can just sit down, jump in, play something, and then get out of it, and I, you know, and I'm good to go. And at the same time, I'm hopefully progressing my character a little bit, because my hunter right now is on the low end of the totem pole as far as abilities. I mean, he's leveled up.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, my supers, you have to, there's like a whole range of upgrades inside right. inside a super, and it takes a lot of time to level those things up.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I've been basically playing with him, and I've got the weekly Crucible bounties. Those are kind of fun to do, and Crucible is really all I'm doing. And then I've got the usual COE stuff, and I did some of that last night mm-hmm. on the Hunter. So tonight after the show, I'll go on to my Titan and do a bunch of Crucible stuff and do the Challenge of Elders thing for him. And then on Sunday, I'll do that for the Warlock and just kind of space it out and not try and cram it all in. I always talk about what I want to do, and then I don't do any of it because mm-hmm. Destiny always comes around and takes its place. Let's go to the phones real quick before we jump over to URJ. We don't have a phone screener here, so it's just me answering the phone. Oh, there you go. We don't have a phone screener here, so if you do happen to call, you know, and it rings and rings and rings, I'll get to it eventually. I just got to, number one, notice it, and number two, get to a point in the conversation where I can take it. D Raiders 43, I guess, maybe, says, Destiny is a fun game. I played a strict Warlock. I couldn't get into Titan, but I can see why people love the Hunter. Any tips? Any tips for what? Any tips for playing a Warlock? If you're playing a strict Warlock, you know all the tips you need. As far as tips, I don't know. I still stick to my Warlock for anything that's, needs to be done. As far as a main is concerned, Warlock's my guy. And if we're going to team up and do anything, the first run I'll usually do is with the Warlock if I need to. I don't know what kind of tips you're looking for. And I know, W. Matthew, I know you're going to be calling in during the break, because I know we're going to be... There it goes again. If this is another hang-up, I'm just not going to answer the phone anymore. Hey, this is In-Game Chat. Who's this?
Hey, Richard. How you doing, guys?
Hey, Richard. What's going on, man?
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Can you guys talk about sci-fi stuff, too?
Sci-fi stuff? I mean, yeah. We can. I would rather Matt be here. He's pretty big into sci-fi, yeah, but go ahead.
What do you think about this TV series? I started to fall in love with that. Originally, I fell in love with X-Files when it first came out, and before that, it was The Night Stalker with Darren McGavin, but now I like Wayward Pines. What do you think about it?
I haven't watched a single episode.
Wow.
Well, it got a second season, which is a good sign. I usually won't watch the first season of a show that I might be interested in, because I got to figure, because if it doesn't last, you know, it's one of those tough things to go through. It's different, though, if it's on, like, Netflix or something. That's a completely different thing.
It's on Wednesday night on Fox.
No, yeah, I know it was on Fox. I heard a lot about it when it first aired. I was just hoping, you know, I said if it makes it to a second season, or any show like that, I'll usually give it a watch. Just because it survives. That means it survived, you know. If you're just going to give me one season, it's almost pointless in watching. Right. But
that's true. I mean, the thing I like about it is I like shows that are well written.
Oh, I hope plenty of people like shows that are well written.
A lot of people like stuff that's just stupid stuff out there right now. Who's the guy that is the director who's writing it? The guy that's done all those movies before, The Signs and everything.
Who's doing Wayward Pines?
Yeah,
I don't know.
He did the movie The Signs with Mel Gibson. He did The Lady in the Water.
Oh, M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah.
Something.
And he did The Village also too. I think the movie The Village.
Yeah, he did The Village. He's done a lot of stinkers too, but yeah, he did The Village as well.
That's true. I mean, it's like four or five good hits, and then boy, he has a line of stinkers, man.
Yeah, my favorite of his is Unbreakable with Bruce Willis and Samuel L. Jackson. Yeah,
that is a good one. That is an excellent one. But my favorite is The Village. I mean, the ending is just totally shocking. How you could start another generation behind a fence, you know, during a regular 21st century.
But he has involvement with Wayward Pines.
If you see it, yeah, he's the writer and director of it.
Oh, wow. I did not know anything about that. So, well.
That gave credibility, too, when I first started to watch it. Cause I was like, you know, this arc in the year 4000, you know, and everything. And you'd look at, like you said, that first season, you wonder, is like, if it's going to make it. Now it makes second season. You're like, each episode, you're what you're like, okay, the last episode. So far, I think it has. I look forward to it every Wednesday.
Well, I will definitely check it out, and I will recommend another one for you. It's only on Netflix, though, and you may already know about it, but Stranger Things is fantastic.
I've heard of it. I have not watched it yet, though.
Give it a shot if you've got Netflix. It's an 8-episode investment. No time at all. So that's it. Hey, appreciate you calling in, man.
Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye. Going back to the game thing, Durators in the chat room did say that any tips for playing Titan? He's getting some help out there from Drunk Degenerates, who's in the chat room as well, that Titan is basically punch everything. Defender is what you use in raids and PvE, yeah. Bubble is good to have. The Titan bubble's good to have in control matches when you're in PvP, because you just walk up to the control point, pop your bubble, and you'll take control of the point or whatever, and you're safe inside. And so are all of your teammates who are in there as well. So
really came in handy with that Golgoroth battle we had.
That you need, yeah. Well, that's what he says. Defender is pretty much the thing you should use in raids, because Defender you need it in Golgoroth. Defender you need it in, use it in all of them. The War Priest one, the guy pops the bubble in the back. Everybody charges their weapon, goes inside, gets their weapons charged because it does more damage, and then starts hitting the War Priest. Golgoroth, of course, you do the same with that. You pop it, people get the weapons. Buff, they go inside, they go and then shoot him, and then you need it for the fight with Sisters and Oryx later on. So that's exactly what you need it for. So I would recommend leveling. You really should level that up first. You should level up the Defender side of that, but it is very difficult to not level up the Firehammer side of that, just because of the damage output that it is, you know. All the new stuff that they added is like the best stuff. You know, the Warlock got the electricity thing, and it's fantastic to dealing damage. It's wonderful in PvP. And so, you know, you level that up. Titans got the hammers, which are just great because they do a lot of damage. It's a great, you know, ability. And then the Hunters got Nightstalker with... I don't know what it's called, but it's not bad either. The one that does the tether and everything that tethers the enemies together and makes your damage output or the damage that they take is greater. You're not really putting out any more damage. They're just taking a lot more damage from having that attached to them or whatever it is. And it produces orbs and stuff. So, yeah. So that's what I've got on my end. I've done Destiny. I've done Batman. What have you been doing?
Mostly Fallout 4. I started doing the DLC.
Really? No Dark Souls anymore?
No,
huh?
Not this week anyway. But wow. That might change. I was able to put it down for a little bit. But yeah, I started doing the DLC for Fallout 4. Like I said, started Far Harbor. A lot more than just a missing persons case that the advertisement said.
Did that release this week?
No. It's been a long time.
Oh, okay.
It's been a while. But yeah, you got the missing persons case from Nick Valentine. It is a detective agency, and you go out to far north area of the Commonwealth, take your boat, and go out to this island community, and start searching for answers. Right. But along with that, before I started doing that, I started doing a lot of the side missions. There are plenty of side missions to go through.
Yeah.
And more locations to find, more enemies, things of that nature. I had a murder mystery to solve as a side mission involving these robo brains. That was pretty interesting. But the key to that was you have to talk to everybody and get every detail you can before you get the actual murderer. So that was a pretty interesting little thing to go through as well. So outside of that, played some. Went to GT South and played some classic fighters. Played King of Fighters 94. And,
they had a tournament yesterday, I think.
Yeah, Amber's birthday. Amber's birthday tournament. We played Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 that was the game of her choice, one of her favorites. So we all had to play that. Had a good good turnout. Went fifth place. So I didn't get any money out of the pot, but it was a good time all along. I mean, not bad considering that's a game I'm not really a fan of. Didn't play too much of, but the basics and a lot of playing of Marvel vs. Capcom 2.
Yeah.
I got the gist of it down, just didn't get all the elements of the system out in my playthrough. But 1-1, not bad. Fifth place. Had a good time with everybody. Amber had a good time. Wished her happy birthday and all that good stuff.
I saw her this afternoon before coming in. Took some food over there. Actually, I got a text from her very late last night. I didn't get it till this morning. And she was asking for me to bring the food in today. But yeah, she had quite a fun time. Quite a lot.
Yes, there was a lot of fun. A
lot of drinking.
Fun and
liquor.
A
lot of drinking.
Fun and liquor and friends and family and more liquor and more friends. Yeah. She had a memorable time. Yes. She did.
Yes, she did. And she was enjoying this morning. Well, it was this afternoon, but she was still, it was still morning for her.
Yeah. So, like I said, Classic Fighters, King of Fighters 94, Samurai Showdown, played those two a little bit. Other than that, downloaded some free stuff from PlayStation, downloaded Fury, which was still free. And I think Paragon, I got a message from there saying that a last chance to get it for free while you can. So I figured, well, may as well put it in the library and download it later while I'm still on the PlayStation Plus account.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So that's pretty much all I've done with video gaming this week.
All right. Mm-hmm. This coming week, nothing's on my radar. It'll be more of the same probably for me. I know we've got a couple of games being released here pretty soon. Mm-hmm. Deus Ex, the sequel, is being released at some point this month. I can't remember when exactly it is, but it's coming out pretty soon. No Man's Sky is getting released. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about that later on the show. I know that coming up after this break, we're going to talk about Nintendo and the NX. But I want to go over the No Man's Sky situation later on the show. We'll go over the free games we're getting in August on Xbox for Xbox Gold members and PS Plus members. We'll talk about that. We've got Loot Crate stuff over here. I don't think... Yeah, you can see it in the top screen. You can see this pile of stuff. There are three boxes and a bag's worth of Loot Crate stuff that we're going to go through towards the end of the show. So we'll be doing that during this episode as well, but a little bit later on. Coming up next, though, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we are going to talk about Nintendo and the NX. Rumors released of it possibly being a certain type of system, and I say it's rumors. I don't know. I really haven't heard anything. Actually, we're not taking a break right now at all because my computer has just been taken over. We were having some technical difficulties earlier, and they're going to work on it. I'm texting our guy right now. I need the machine back, sir.
Yeah, somebody remoted in.
I need the machine back. Okay, I think he's giving it back to me. So, yeah, we're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we'll have more of in-game chat. We'll talk about that in Nintendo NX situation as well. We'll have W. Matthew said he was going to call in, so we'll have him to talk about it with us. Right now, here's music from Space Channel 5. We'll be right back right after this. We'll be right back. And welcome back to In-Game Chat, along with, I'm Scott, along with RJ here. That is music from Virtua Fighter. All right, so for this segment of the show, we're going to get into this Nintendo NX. I still want to call it kind of a rumor, but I don't necessarily know that it's a rumor. It might be actually true, but I will just handle it as a rumor right now. Here's the first line, and I'm going to bring in W. Matthew here in just a second. The first line of this article from Eurogamer says, Nintendo's upcoming NX will be a portable handheld console with detachable controllers, a number of sources have confirmed to Eurogamer. So that is that's the first line of the article. They don't even say that this is the rumor that we've heard. This is the number of sources that confirmed to us that this is what it's going to be. I kind of think that they're probably right on that. We're bringing in W. Matthew now to the show. Hey, man, welcome to In-Game Chat.
Yeah, I think at this point we've heard enough rumblings from enough places to think that they're right.
I think that's the case as well. That Nintendo likes to be tricky with their stuff anyway. They like to be something different every iteration that they do, and falls in line.
And again, I said in the chat earlier, it's like that. This is something I would actually buy because I don't need a home console, but my 3DS is now going on. Like, technically, it's the XL, so it's newer, but it's like 6 years old.
Yeah.
It's kind of time for a new handheld.
It's just an interesting direction for them to go because it's kind of their next console, but it's also kind of their next handheld. It's sort of combining the two.
It's also a smart direction because A, they're never going to play in the power space again. Like, I really think you're seeing the wind blowing against Microsoft and Sony in that regard too. So many people switching to PC, and they've always played well in the handheld space. Japan is almost exclusively handheld and mobile at this point. This makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, the article goes on to say that on the move, NX will function as a high-powered handheld console with its own display. So far, so normal, but here's the twist. The screen is bookended by two controller sections on either side, which can be attached or detached as required. Then when you get home, the system connects to your TV for gaming on the big screen. Also, they're going cartridge with this.
Their handhelds have always been cartridge, though.
Very true. That is the case. Well, I am moving so far more and more I move to digital downloads. If I can find it where it's digital, but, cheap.
I tend to do digital with the exception of Nintendo, mostly because of their back end. But in general, I tend to do digital.
For a handheld, though, digital seems to be the best way to go that way because, you want it to be portable. And, like I do with the Vita, that thing's loaded with nothing but PS Plus games that are downloaded to the system because the less I got to carry, the better. And it's kind of go ahead.
Like I said, I'll admit, like, basically at this point you're talking a modern day Game Boy, a one screen sort of handheld, and hey, a video out option to your television so I could actually play games like Pokemon on the television. That I'm really happy for. Plus, if you look at the specs, they're not half bad either. It's a Tegra processor at minimum.
Yeah. Yeah, this is all an interesting thing of which way they're going with this, and I don't know when we're going to find out. I know they want to release this in March, but I don't know when we're going to find out.
More than likely September, around the time of TGS.
Yeah, it'd be great if this maybe forced their hand a little bit to go ahead and, get out there with it.
I guess let's sort of dive into the specs here, because I think it's kind of relevant. You're looking at a system that at minimum is a Tegra X1 processor, with rumors of it being NVIDIA's new chip, the Tegra X2.
Is that what's going to be? I didn't Yeah, you're right. It is the NVIDIA Tegra.
What is in the dev kit is the Tegra X1, and there are rumors that it might end up being NVIDIA's Tegra X2, which is going to be revealed in August.
Well, this just points to more evidence why I think this is probably the way that they're going to go with this thing.
Honestly, they have to. Again, like, I don't think there's any room for them in the home console space.
This seems to double as a home console and a handheld, though. It'll be an interesting design, and I'm curious what. I don't know. The whole thing is, I'm just really curious about whenever they get around to announcing this thing and showing it off and how it works. If we're going to go with this is the way it's going to be done, I'm very curious as to how they position it for marketing. You know what I'm saying?
If they are smart, they will position it as a handheld you could hook up to your television.
True. And obviously that'll be a point but what is their big point, though? Is it...
That is their big point. This is their next handheld that you could also plug into your TV for local multiplier.
Yeah, I'm looking... I'm still reading over some of this article here. System is NVIDIA's processor Tegra. Graphical comparisons with current consoles are difficult due to the vastly different nature of the device. But once again, we've heard Nintendo is not chasing graphical parity. They're sacrificing power to ensure it can squeeze all of this technology into a handheld, something which also tallies with earlier reports.
Comparison, the Tegra X1 is basically slightly faster than, a little bit faster than the PS3 and Xbox 360.
Mm.
But still, that's impressive for a handheld.
Yeah, that's what they discussed the PR situation with the Wii U launch. They said the company's already settling on a simple marketing message for the NX of being able to take your games with you on the go.
It sort of goes back to, they're going to position it as a handheld with HDMI out, basically, which would be the smart move.
Yeah, it's I know the marketing for the Wii U, whenever they did that, was they showed the guy playing it on TV, and then somebody wanted to use the TV, and they showed him switching that to the controller unit and then walking around the house.
What they should do, and I've heard this elsewhere, is the first thing that should open up is the guy sitting on, like, a park bench.
Yeah.
Like, make it very clear from the get-go, this person is not in their home. Show them playing it as a handheld, and then have them hook it up to their television.
Well, I am very interested in seeing what they're going to do with this, how they're going to price it. Curious about that as well.
Given what the price of the NVIDIA Shield is that uses the same chip, is looking between $250 and $300.
That's a good price for them.
$250 like, or $300 would be perfect. $250
will be golden in a world of $250. Older consoles, but first, they're not even first gen. I don't know what you want to call them. Launch systems, maybe? I don't really know how you differentiate between the new Xbox Ones and the PS4 point, whatever they're going to be doing for that, the Neo.
$250 would be, even $300 would be good, but $250 would be absolutely golden.
Oh my God.
It would do really well in Japan, and I think it would do pretty well here as well. Again, like, I'm never going to buy a home console at least not this generation, because high-end gaming PC. But you know what? I'm kind of in the market for a new handheld.
They're still doing okay, though. I don't know. I haven't checked on sales, but isn't the 3DS still doing pretty good out there?
The 3DS has sold, like, 60 million worldwide.
Hmm. I don't know.
Which is way better than the 13 million we use.
Yeah, it's true. No, it's better. Their handheld is doing fantastically better than their home gaming thing. But the handheld's doing great. So I don't know if they're going to just run parallel.
No, this will replace the Wii U.
No. I understand I understand it'll replace the Wii U. I'm talking about the 3DS.
No, this will replace the 3DS as well. This is them consolidating everything. About a year ago, they combined their handheld and console division, development divisions. This, they're replacing everything with this.
Hmm.
This is them going, we're going to put all of our development, all of our dev teams on one device, which is actually really smart, because that's been what their issue has been in a couple past generations, is they've been splitting their dev resources.
Yep, I'm looking at the, I'm looking more in this article. Nintendo always designs its hardware to show off specific game concepts, and it remains to be seen how the system will showcase the next Mario, or even how the NX version of Zelda, the only first-party game confirmed so far, may differ when played on the device.
I mean, you could take a hit. A lot of people noted when they played Breath of the Wild that it didn't use the gamepad at all. So there's your answer.
It didn't use what was it using? What, I mean, how were they?
It was just normal controller.
Normal controller. Okay, yeah, yeah.
Like, so, it didn't use the touchscreen stuff at all. So, like, there's your answer. It's pretty much going to be a, it's going to be a portable console with standard controllers. My guess is you could probably buy a standard controller, if you don't separately, a pro controller style separately, and there you go.
Yeah. A base unit or dock station is used to connect the brain of the NX within the controller to display on your TV. Yeah, I think this is gonna be, this is probably gonna be the way they go with this. It'll, if it's not, I'll be very surprised, and then we'll have more questions. But I think that's, I mean, how it's gonna work.
They kind of have no choice. Again, like, what do they do? They do anything that's even close to a standard home console, they're dead in the water.
I mean, true. Okay, that, I'd have to give it to, because the both systems, or both companies have new systems being released this fall, and Nintendo's never been one to go head to head with them as far as the looks department is concerned.
I mean, okay, but the thing is, okay, that sort of brings up, like, again, you're hesitant, and I think there's probably other people say, well, they could. Like, I want to bring up why they can't. You have Sony either this holiday season or early next year releasing the Neo, something way more powerful, significantly more powerful than the PS4. And way more powerful than anything Nintendo would release, even if they were to do another home console. And then you have the Scorpio at the end of the year. There is no room for Nintendo whatsoever to do a home console.
No, and like I said, they've done more to innovate than they've done to, I say innovate. They've just been more creative as far as the. Oh, God. Okay, I'll put it this way, and I hate using this, but it's really true. They've been more gimmicky than the other
Yeah,
systems.
They've relied on gimmicks. The problem is like, gimmicks hit once in a while, but more often than not, they tend to miss.
Yeah, but this is a gimmick. This is obviously a gimmick that works in their favor, because they have been king of.
This is, but like, that's what I mean. This is the gimmick that works in their favor. This is a gimmick because it's not really a gimmick. It is literally just a handheld with an HDMI out. Like, this isn't so much a gimmick as basically adding a video out port on their handheld.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree that this is, yeah, that's exactly what will work in their favor. They already dominate the handheld market. This will just continue that domination. Do you think this is it for them? Do you think this is where they're going to continue to go in this kind of direction, to just be a handheld sort of company?
Yes. Again, like, you have to sort of separate to a larger industry picture to understand why. You have Sony and Microsoft, which are competing, which are going back and forth on the power department. Nintendo can't play there. And then on top of that, you have, unlike in prior generations where PC was kind of its own thing, isolated with its own people,
yeah,
that isn't the case anymore. PC is your and I hate saying it this way, but PC is your third console. Like, PC is your third competitor here.
Yeah, so still, the handheld is left open.
Yeah, Sony, which would mean if Nintendo were to try to play, it would be a fourth competitor, and there very clearly isn't enough room in this market for four.
Yeah, Sony's Vita has just been doing horribly.
It's actually done okay in Japan, but yeah, in general, it's been rather, like, bad. It really is, like, and again, it really is one word. It's Pokemon. If Nintendo, like, again, with that handheld, they could basically build a full 3D open-world Pokemon game, and that will sell it by itself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think a lot of people realize just how powerful Pokemon is.
Oh my God, no. Well, maybe people don't. I completely can understand that. I mean, just the news that we had this week where Nintendo decided to tell everybody that, look, we're not actually involved with that Pokemon Go thing.
And then their stocks just crashed.
Yeah, the stocks dropped immensely. They just went, they took a massive nosedive after they revealed that, because everybody jumped out and said, oh, well, we put our eggs in the wrong basket. We need to put it over here. But if they are to do this and then do that with that property, it'll go right back up.
Yeah. Also, again, like, that's sort of the point is, like,
and we'll have the same situation that we've had every time Nintendo's released a new system of any kind. The fact that you won't be able to get them stocked long enough for, you know, I mean, they'll just be off the shelves as soon as they're stocked.
I mean, but, like, again, it's a classic case of use case, because to me, I said, like, I've actually I'm almost certainly going to get that if it is what Eurogamer says it is,
mm-hmm.
This is something I'm going to buy.
Do you own a 3DS at all?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I own a 3DS. It's the only console I own at this point.
Yep. And so, yeah, you'll jump on this as well. If it is what they say it is.
Yeah, because it, again, it's a matter of use case. If I want to play high-end great games, I have my PC. This is good on the go, and nice feature of, oh, I'm playing Pokemon at home. I could plug it into my TV or into my monitor.
Mm-hmm.
And play it that way.
I like the idea, too. I'm looking at doing, because I know that the Vita just got the homebrew thing that just happened yesterday or today, where you could do homebrew stuff on the Vita. So I'm kind of curious about doing something like that. But yeah, so this is the news that we got from Nintendo for this week. And, you know, again, now it's sort of a wait and see for the next news to break, or wait and see for them to actually announce one of their little online things so that we'll know what's going to happen.
I mean, I think this is sort of, and this sort of does sort of lead into a bigger discussion is, and this is why, and this is sort of the thing, and it sort of leads into that discussion of what is the role even home consoles play in the intervening years? Because in the discussion of this with my friends, we all sort of came to this realization that it is that even the home console market, the shifting pattern is towards PC. And, like, the people I'm talking with are fairly, don't really want gaming PCs, that sort of thing, and are all like, yeah, this is the trend in the PC direction. So, again, a very smart move on Nintendo to realize that this is maybe not a market they should be staying in and moving to handheld completely.
Yeah. Well, our own RJ is building a PC, and it's been how many years since you've had a working?
About 7 or 8.
Been about 7 or 8 since you've been doing anything with a PC, so.
I guess I'm going to ask sort of that question of what convinced you to go and start building a PC.
Performance. It's been about 7, 8 years. Things are sluggish. Things are taking longer to get home.
Where will you, let me ask you this. Yeah. You've been doing consoles for 7, 8 years.
Yeah.
For a good while now. You've been really strictly, you know, PlayStation sort
right.
of guy. Game releases, both systems, which one would you go with? If you've got a PC and you've got a PS4, which one are you going to go with for the game?
Well, if it's a fighting game, it's definitely going to be console.
Well, console will be fighting. I understand that.
And that's
just for the tournament factor.
Yeah, tournament factor and all that stuff.
But let's look at something like Dark Souls.
Console. Because most of the folks I know who plays it are on console.
Yeah. And you've just acclimated
yeah.
yourself to playing those kind of games on there.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I can play on a PC. Like when I did Dark Souls 2,
is there anything specifically as far as a game that you're building this for? Or is it just to be prepared? Or what's the...
No, it's to be prepared. Like I said, it's been 8 years. Time to upgrade my stuff.
Yeah.
And I can play a PC game on there if need be.
Yeah.
So if it's available, I can and I want to get into it, I'll have the equipment available to me to play it.
Even that, the whole like your friends are on consoles, like I don't know how long that even stays relevant, because more and more games are coming out with PC to console play sort of baked in.
Yeah, but for the most part, the most games I play I put real focus on are going to be those fighting games. And they've always been king on console.
Yeah.
So most likely I'm going to be focused on console more than anything else. Yeah. PC is going to be secondary for me for a very long time.
It's funny you say that, we'll see, but like a lot of people build a new PC with that same mindset and then end up getting pulled to PC.
I get it. Just because you've got, you know, the difference between where I pick it up falls under a couple of different factors. Price is probably going to be always the first and foremost, and usually online somewhere for a digital download, I can find it cheaper than I can for a console. Second is the performance that we've talked about. I've got a really nice looking monitor now. I've got a really good card
It's not a monitor, that's a TV.
Yeah, well, it's a monitor. I've got a really good card in there that can push, that can use what the developers have built into these things to really show off the performance.
Yeah, you got
the
stuff that can push it.
I know.
Yeah.
So I lean more towards, you know, the games that I keep talking about I ever play, Destiny, it's only on console, you know? And the other game that I mentioned, I'm playing on PC, Batman. Boom, PC. So.
Here's an interesting question that sort of means, like, again, I've been hearing people talk about sort of, as an idea, what do you think the likelihood is a company like CD Projekt Red approaching Sony and Microsoft and saying, if you want Cyberpunk 2077, it'll only be, like, if you want it on your consoles at all, it'll only be on the Neo and Scorpio, and what do you think the likelihood of Sony and Microsoft giving them the exception to go ahead and do that?
I don't know. That's a good question. I do not know. I was reading an interview, I don't know if it was this week or last week, with someone either from Sony or Microsoft. Again, this is very, I'm blurry in the head as far as who was talking and where I read it. But I know that the content was about the consoles being upgraded and how they're moving towards, like you said, the way smartphones are going, the way cell phones are going, where you upgrade once every other year. But the point of this one was saying that every time you do that on a cell phone, you expect your apps to work on the one that you upgrade to, or if you don't upgrade, you still expect your apps to play. And it fell into the same line as far as video games were concerned. If you're upgrading your console every other year instead of every 5 years like it used to be, or every six like it used to be, you had a mindset that, okay, when I upgrade to my console years from now, these games aren't going to play on anymore. I got to start the library all over again. But if you're upgrading so soon that your mind doesn't follow, that doesn't stick. You want those games to still play, and they will, but now you're talking about bringing exclusives just for those systems.
And it's not even so much exclusives, it's that, and I bring that up because CD Projekt Red, as a company, likes playing on the cutting edge.
Yeah.
And by the time those games come out, it's going to be holiday 2017 at the earliest, most likely sometime 2018. The PS4, which is the more powerful of these original systems, is only running the equivalent to a 750 Ti. Like, there's no way they're going to want to be constrained that much.
Well, I mean, are they going? Have they already mentioned that they're going to have exclusives for those systems? And by exclusives, I mean, hey, this only runs on a Neo or on
a... Both of them have claimed so far that that's not going to happen. But also, both companies didn't want mod either. And we know that Fallout 4 has mods on both. Better implementation on Xbox One than PS4, but has them anyway. Mm-hmm. We already know that if a third party with enough influence came in and said, we want this, there's a decent chance they'll get it, especially dealing with a company like CD Projekt Red.
Right, yeah, there's probably going to be companies like that, where, you know, same with on Sony's end for even just some of their first party development houses like Naughty Dog. If they're like, hey, the only way this really runs is on a Neo. And that's where we're going to develop that. And I'm sure Sony would say, go right ahead, because you know what? That's going to sell more systems.
Same with
CD Projekt Red. If there's like, well, you can only play this on one of the newer systems. These are the guys who did Witcher 3. You remember that? Really good, that sort of thing. Then, yeah, I think it's going to be, I think they'll be fine with saying yes to that, because it is something that they can market and sell more systems with.
But like, the reason I sort of bring up the question is because, one, it technically goes against their marketing, which is no exclusives for these things. But two, it also is to sort of put a very sharp point on the part that even when those systems launched, they were weak.
I wonder if we'll have more updates with... you know, patches, things like that, where, you know, kind of, I mean, if we are moving towards PC, are we going to have more, you know, this is massive speculation, but you know, the certification process that everything has to go through on consoles, PC doesn't have that barrier. You know, dev wants to put out a patch, they just throw out the patch.
The problem, and again, I've actually spoken to devs about the certification process, and like, regardless of the dev team size, like, it is very much a relic of a bygone era, because it's this weird thing. Also, the fact that so many of the tools that are like PS4 and Xbox One specific are NDA'd is also a bit silly, because it means they don't, especially smaller devs, don't get access to support resources they otherwise would have
doing
PC stuff. So, like, we're in a weird situation where I think consoles, if they are to survive going forward, they... one way or another, do need to become more open. I don't think they can remain a closed ecosystem like they are.
Well, it's gonna change, and it's gonna be changing faster than we're used to it changing, as far as the console space is concerned. So I appreciate you calling in, W. Matthew. Always great talking to you, and we gotta go take our break for the top of the hour. So thanks for calling in, man. Nope. Bye. If you would like to get in touch with us, you can give us a call to 334-272-9228 is the number to get in touch with us. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, we'll go over some of the games that are coming out for your Xbox Live Gold members, your free games with gold, and your PS Plus games that are coming out free for the month of August. We'll have that coming up in the next segment as well. Here's music from Blood Omen. We'll be right back with more of In-Game Chat. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. I'm Scott, along with RJ. This is music from Deus Ex, Human Revolution. Really good soundtrack. And I have a lot of hope for the sequel that comes out this month. Well, I say this month, August. All right, welcome back to the show. We're going to go over the free games that we're getting this month. Again, this month, I mean August, for Xbox and for PlayStation. Xbox Gold members and PlayStation Plus members. The Xbox games you're going to get on Xbox One for the entire month of August, you'll have Warriors Orochi 3 Ultimate. You can pick that one up free beginning August 1st. Also, if you're on the Xbox 360, you can get Spelunky. But that's from August 1st to the 15th. They stagger these things. Very strange. Beginning August 16th, you can start picking up WWE 2K16 for Xbox One. And on the 360, Beyond Good and Evil HD. And that starts August 16th as well. Both Xbox 360 games have backwards compatibility to the Xbox One, so Spelunky and Beyond Good and Evil HD you will be able to play if you're an Xbox One owner and you have a gold membership. So, not too bad there. On the PlayStation Plus side of things, PS4 titles. Now, they release six games each month for free. However, it's two games per system that are out right now. PS4 titles, you have Tricky Towers and Rebel Galaxy. Let's see, the former is debuting next month and offers a physics-based competitive spin on Tetris. They build towers based on Tetris blocks, but they're subject to physics, and players can cast spells to stabilize their rickety constructions or sabotage their opponents. Rebel Galaxy is a space combat game where you control massive ships in a procedurally generated universe. Launched late last year on PC before coming to consoles earlier this year. PS3 titles. Yakuza 5. And guitar-controlled arcade adventure Retrograde. That's for PS3. And then Vita freebies for August. Patapon 3. Which will get stuck in your head, by the way. It's a rhythm-type game, but yeah. Ultratron, which is a retro arcade game. It's also available for PS4 and PS3. This should also serve as a warning that the July free games for both systems are about to end. You've got tomorrow, basically, to pick those games up. So, let's go over to the phones. If I don't break the board. Let's go to the phones and talk to Chris. Hey, Chris, thanks for holding.
What's going on? Y'all.
Not much. We are me and RJ. You know.
Hey, you should have got in touch with me. I could have came in today if y'all were bored.
Well, no, we're not bored.
Bored.
When I was putting my loot crate boxes over here, I thought about that. Now, Nate, I did not get notice until this morning that Nate wasn't going to be able to come in. And he was supposed to have a guest with him when he was coming in, too. So we were going to have all mics occupied, but a last-minute switch-up is what threw us off. So I did not... And I thought about that, too, when I was putting up the boxes here. We had about 10 minutes to showtime, and I thought, man, could have called Chris, had him come in, would have been perfect time. But
yeah.
Anyway, we're supposed to have everybody back next week. Nate's supposed to be here, Matt's supposed to be here, and then I think Nate's guest will be here with us as well. So it'll be a packed little room next week. If that happens, I don't really hold any of it to actually happening. I'll just, you know, it's one of those I'll believe it when I see it type of situations. Matt has assured me, though, that he will be back next week. Okay. What's been going on with you?
Oh, not much. A few years ago, I got one of those carrying cases that you can put guns and stuff in, but I repurposed it to hold the PlayStation Vita, the PlayStation Portable, and the old portable gaming systems and put all the games in there and all of that. So I decided it was about time I wanted to redo it and reorganize it. So I was working on that and got some pieces of styrofoam that I cut out all the shapes of the systems and stuff. So it's like two layers where the systems and everything are on the bottom layer, and then you can lift one of them out, which will have the games for the PSP and the controllers and hookups and stuff for that on the second layer, and you just close the whole case and you just pick it up and go with it.
Man, you're a crafty little guy, aren't you?
Yeah, and my dad was.
I was gonna say, you do this for you do that you do you ever do you ever take commissions? You ever somebody ever say, hey, build me a case?
No, I never have thought about it. You ought to look into that.
You should look into that.
You should definitely look into that, because what you're just describing to me sounds fantastic. I bet. Here's something. You should go talk to Rustin.
Oh, I've talked to him. You know, I'm the one that did the wooden Nintendo.
You built the wooden Nintendo thing, yeah. Talk to him and show him that case and say, hey, is this something you might be interested in, putting out, selling? And, you know, he'd get a piece of it as well, but that's something to look into, man. I think that's actually pretty cool. I don't do a lot of traveling with this monstrosity over here, and I'm not pointing at RJ, I'm pointing at my computer system whenever I have to bring it into this place. But when I go on trips and stuff, I travel with the PSP and the 3DS. But... you know, for people who do other traveling like that, something like that, they can put their consoles in and everything else, and it's all, like, I would love to have a nice, see, my dad had guns that I inherited, and they're the rifle things, and they're sitting in the closet back, but he also had guitars, and they all sit in cases and stuff. I would love to have a case, just like you're talking about, where I would put my Dreamcast in it, my NES, my SNES, I think I've still got my Genesis. All my classic systems, nice and styrofoamed and all cushioned into a case where I could put them up and they'd be nice and protected.
I sit here thinking about gun cases. I think about those. I think about those spy thriller movies where they have that long rectangular case that sniper rifles go into.
Oh yeah,
something like that could fit all those systems in there if you cut up.
Yeah,
pieces, right?
I know, if you cut them out, because they're not exceptionally big. I've still, you know, I've got my original Xbox, my PS1 or my PSX and my PS2.
Yeah.
I got my
Sega consoles.
I got my GameCube sitting around here. I did not own an N64. Actually, I didn't own a PSX either. So I don't have either of those, but
yeah, in my case, Genesis, Saturn,
I've got
Sega CD,
yeah,
PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3.
But right now they're either sitting in the original box up in a closet somewhere, or they're sitting, stacked on each other in a room somewhere, and to have them in a case, and then to have the games that I can slot. Oh, man, there's some ideas. I got some stuff floating around in my head.
You don't have
now to
care too much in terms of hookups, because a lot of those current systems have the same. They all need an HDMI cable and all need a universal power.
Or the current systems, but the old systems are all needed just the RCA jacks, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the one of the things I found out that was really interesting, do you remember those old PlayStation 1 carrying cases that had the little bag where you would slide the system in there and had a little front pouch on the bottom corner that you could, like, strap it to your shoulder, or and it also had a hand carry handle on it as well?
No, I didn't do a lot of... I didn't have a PlayStation. Again, going back to that,
I've seen cases like that before, but what the ones I saw, maybe I didn't see enough of them. But the ones I saw, there just wasn't enough space to carry all the other stuff that you wanted to take with it. You know, it just had room for just that system and maybe one or two controllers and hookups and nothing else. You couldn't put any extra games in there, anything like that that you wanted to.
Well, what was cool about that? I've got one of those and. The PlayStation 4 fits in there perfectly for, you know, taking the system and the controller and the hookup with it. And I was able to get a couple games on top of the system, but it fits in there where the original PlayStation 1 would go.
Just a couple games, though?
Yeah, just a couple games and the controller and hookups and everything. And it fits in there. It's a little snug, but, yeah, it works.
I was about to ask, case and all, did you have some, like, CD sleeves or something that you put elsewhere?
You could probably do that, but the CD sleeves or something thinner would definitely take up less room. But you know, I put two full games, you know, full size games that had the original case with it. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, it was pretty snug, but yeah, they fit in there.
Yeah. In my case, when I go to like tournaments and things like that, when I go to AWA or Final Round, things like that, we just have a big CD wallet, 200 something, hold 200 something discs, and just take all your discs and slide them in there. So you got that going with you. So it's like a console, the CD wallet, something else that holds all your hookups.
Going to PAX, I've seen some fantastic ways that people carry around their PCs.
Like straps and...
Oh, my God. The way that it's... Yeah. The way there's some amazing ways that people have gone about to carry... Because there's the PC free play room, and so people... And there's the bring your own PC.
Right.
And so people will do that. I could never consider traveling with this thing across... in a plane. It's just... It's too massive. Mm. And I could not... There's no way... Unless I packed it... I could put it in a box and pack that thing with foam, whatever, take it to UPS and be like, here, ship it over there. But there's no way I would trust it going on a plane unless I could carry it with me as a carry-on.
No.
Yeah, no.
No, it ain't. It's not going to work.
Yeah, but...
They're kind of restrictive on that carry-on thing, at least...
they are, but there's some PCs that you can actually do that with. They build them small and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So, or you can build them small. There's some, again... Going back to the way people are creative with how they do things, the PC mods, and I don't mean the mods on the inside of your PC. I mean the mods about how people build PCs.
Didn't they have cases with handles on the top for
some do?
Like that?
Some do. Yeah. There's some builds. Have you ever seen the wall builds?
Mm-mm.
It's interesting. Everything is on a wall. Everything is attached to the wall.
I think I've seen a picture of one of those, and they have neon lights and neon around it.
Like the motherboard is a separate piece; it's attached to the wall with the CPU on it. The graphics card is there, and then like all the other components, like the power supply, is sitting off to the side.
So it's like pictures on a wall.
Google it. Google it. Type in like wall built PC or something, and see what you can come up with. Chris, thanks so much for calling in, man.
Oh, before I
go ahead.
Have y'all seen that show on that's on YouTube and then also on Facebook called The Ben Heck Show?
Yeah, he's a modder, basically. It's kind of like Mythbusters, but for PCs and gaming consoles. They're not really busting myths anyway. They're just building new things.
Did y'all see the episodes where whoever it found the PlayStation Super Nintendo prototype?
The Nintendo,
He fixed it.
He got it to work.
And then they had a little follow-up episode after that, you know, that they found the parts of the CD-ROM that may fit that. I think it was something wrong with the laser, but everything checked out and worked the way it was supposed to, but except, you know, the laser wouldn't read any music CDs, so...
Mm.
That'd be interesting to see if they can eventually come back to that and see if it would play music CDs if they can fit the laser in it.
Yeah, that guy's fascinating. He started out just building like here. He would put an entire console inside a very tiny space. He would break down a console, put all the components in a very small space, and make it portable. Basically, he made a portable Xbox. And Xbox 360 made portable ones for that. And when I mean portable, I mean very, very portable. Very, very small. But we appreciate you calling in, man.
All right, y'all have a good one.
Take care.
Take care now.
Ben Heck, really fascinating with what he's done with that that situation. So a couple of little quick hits here before we take a break. The Xbox One has now dropped in price to $249. I think it's going to stay that way in anticipation of the Xbox One S that releases in just a few days. Mm-hmm. I believe it starts shipping on, or it starts, it's going to release on Tuesday, I think, the Xbox One S. The other one was that the Three Fields Entertainment, the folks that worked on Dangerous Golf, while they have said that they probably won't do any expansions or sequels to Dangerous Golf, they did announce that they have begun work on a new driving game. And this is what we're here for, basically. This is why I was always interested in them. This is why I bought Dangerous Golf, is to support the fact that they'd be working on a racing game, and now they are. These are Three Fields Entertainment, or former people who worked at Criterion and who worked on Burnout. So the expectations aren't necessarily high, but hope is. I'm very hopeful for whatever they come up with. And really, really looking forward to what they do. So, Let's see. We did the free games that are coming out. And I wanted to talk about, so we're going to have to take a break here. We don't have to take a break here just yet. We've still got these loot crate boxes we got to open up.
Right.
But I wanted to talk about the No Man's Sky. Mm-hmm. The game releases in about 10 days, August 9th. However, right. There's some speculation that it might be releasing August 12th. There was some sort of confusion about a PC release date that it might have been pushed back for the PC. There hasn't been any confirmation to this, and Hello Games has not said anything. They've been inundated with tweets about it. People have been trying to get in touch with them to ask about it, but they've said nothing. That's it. They haven't said anything about the PC release date. However, they broke their silence just yesterday because somebody paid around $2,000 to buy a copy of the game off eBay and play it 10 days early. I think the actual price was like $1,250, and then there was some shipping involved and all sorts of stuff. So it was a good amount more than what you would pay for a video game. But almost $2,000 to play that game early. He started uploading video. He uploaded video of him opening the package so that we could all kind of witness to see if this was actually going to be real, if somebody didn't just do what normally happens when you buy things on the internet for a lot of money, mm-hmm. which is be scammed. He didn't get scammed. He opened up the package. There was the game. He opened up the game case. There was the CD. He put it in the PS4. It recognized and started installing, and then he was playing the game. He posted video of the first planet that he was on and what he was doing there. And then finally, Hello Games kind of broke their silence and said, please do not watch this. Please, we have spent years and years to build this for you. You've spent years and years waiting. Don't spoil yourself. Please don't watch this. It didn't really split the community, and this is just me taking speculation of what I was reading on Reddit. It didn't really split the community as much. I imagine 80% of the people are fine with it, and there's a possibly 20% of people who are kind of taking a little bit of offense towards it, saying, we've been asking you for weeks about this PC release date. Why haven't you said anything? But then you'll come out and say, hey, don't watch this, don't spoil it. And then there's question about what's being spoiled, because there's something like 18 quintillion planets in this game for people to discover. Everyone starts out on a different... There's no... Nobody has the same starting experience as anyone else. It's all completely randomized. So there's some concern about what's actually being spoiled. The other concern is that they have been so tight-lipped on this game. There's been so much mystery about, like, what do you actually do? What do you do in this game? And they haven't really said anything about that. That maybe their concern was that people are going to see this and, well, this is the way any kind of thing works whenever you release a demo. It's either going to work out good for you, it's going to work out bad. Mm-hmm. If it's good, that means that people play the demo and say, I am in. This is fantastic. I am going to get the full game. The other way that works is people play your demo and say, oh, this is crap. I'm glad I'm not going to waste my money on this.
Or it's not what I thought it was going to be.
Right.
Yeah.
And so here's a guy who's putting video out there, and I know that they're sitting in the camp of, this has too much potential to hurt us than to benefit us. We're benefited better by having the mystery out there of what you can do in this game, and people are already on board. If this comes out, people could cancel their pre-orders. People do this. So I'm sure they're in the seat of, get this out of here. It can only be bad for our thing, because it might take away the mystery of some people. It also might reveal exactly what it is you do, and it may be nothing more than a very sophisticated Minecraft.
Sounds like a lack of confidence.
I don't know. You know, watching the video, this guy was just mining materials. He was just gathering materials so that he could get his ship to work so that he could go to another planet
mm-hmm.
and probably do the same thing. I mean, there may be something underlying in the open. I don't know. I didn't see the opening, but maybe there's something in there. It's a lot like what they did with Assassin's Creed when Assassin's Creed first released.
Mm-hmm.
When you were showing videos, they tried not to show you certain things that revealed that there were parts of the game that took place present day.
Right.
Because up until then, we all thought that we were playing a game that took place.
Yeah, some time period piece.
Yeah, in a certain time period. We didn't know about the time jumps.
Mm-hmm.
And so people were watching these videos and saying, there's something weird there. There's some, you know, they were starting to see little peaks in. That didn't hurt it. That just only made us more intrigued about, wait a second, what's going on here?
Right.
You know, that just got us more interested. This, watching somebody play for 30 minutes, it's only 30 minutes, but watching someone play for 30 minutes, and I watched it, and it didn't push me any close to getting the game. In fact, it made me glad that I didn't buy into the mm-hmm. hype or the pre-order, because if that's all I'm doing, that doesn't look like it's going to be fun for me. If all I'm doing is going to planet, meeting new species and either befriending them or shooting them or gathering resources to upgrade my gun to gather more resources or to upgrade my ship to go further or stay out in space longer or to do whatever, none of it seems appealing to me. None of it seems like it has a drive. Minecraft has no drive. Minecraft is just a fun game where you can go in there and build stuff with. But on PC, and I don't know about console, I've never played it on console, but on PC you can set this thing to, you know, you can disable the enemies, so all you can do is just build if you want to build.
Mm-hmm.
You can make it a sandbox. And maybe that's in this. I don't know. I still don't know about it. It's going to be interesting to see how the reviews for this thing come out, because it's got a lot of hype to live up to.
Yeah.
It's got a massive amount of hype to live up to. I think
expectations just shot up because of the hype.
I think that a lot of players and a lot of people who are excited for this game have put it on a pedestal that it may not ever reach, or that it's already reached in their mind, and there's no way it can be bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It's an interesting thing to see. 4 years they've been in development of this game. They've been rather quiet on everything about it. Even the release date it was like pulling teeth trying to get a release date out of them. They kept showing off footage, would never tell us when it's coming out. Wouldn't tell us, and even though they were showing off footage, they still weren't telling us what you did. They were showing, hey, here's planets, here's the scope and the scale of everything, the size of everything, I don't think they ever showed off gathering resources up until the past couple of days when they started releasing videos of how the thing works. By the way, the menu system looks completely ripped off of Destiny, which is fine, I don't care. But it's very, like, when he's looking in the menus and stuff, it is so Destiny-esque. It's got the little circle that moves around and you highlight stuff. And whenever you're over things, the box pops up to tell you what it is and all this other stuff. Looks really Destiny-fied. And that's fine. That's not a mark against them. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what reviews give this and then what the reaction is. If they're positive, you'll have nothing but people saying this is fantastic. If they're negative, that's the ones that I'm curious about. If they're negative, what happens to the community? What happens to the fan base on this? Mm-hmm. Do they decry it and say that, oh, you're just a pretentious reviewer? That's not. Or do they? Yeah, do they not accept the truth of it? I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I don't think a lot of people know exactly what you do in this thing, but they're still intrigued by it, and they want to play it, and their hype is still up there, even though they don't know what they're doing, what you're supposed to do. I don't know. I don't know. And I think maybe that's some of the concern as to why they said, please take this down. Please don't show this. Please don't go and watch it. Because it might get out there that, well, this is all you do. Everything you've been seeing is that's all there is. Mm. There's nothing else to it. Possibly. I don't know. I'm very, very interested to see how this unfolds in the next couple of weeks. So, anyway, we got to take a break. When we come back, RJ and I will talk about Killing Joke a little bit. We both went and saw that Monday when it did a theater. They did a showing in the theater. Yep. It's already available digitally, but it comes out on Blu-ray and DVD on Tuesday. So we'll talk a little bit about that and what we thought about that. We've got these loot boxes that we're going to open up as well. That's all coming up in the next segment. And, everything. I had to restart the computer, by the way, when we were talking to W. Matthew earlier. So all of my stuff got switched. So excuse me for a second. Oh, man, I've got to set up everything now. Never mind. Okay, we'll be right back here with more of In-Game Chat in just a moment. Here's music from DuckTales. I think this is the it's the moon theme, but it's from the remastered moon theme. Yeah, we'll be right back. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music there from GoldenEye. I'm Scott, along with RJ. This is our last little segment for this week's show, and we're going to talk about Killing Joke real quick from when we went and saw it on Monday, and we're going to open up these bags of Loot Crate goodies that we got to get through before the end of the show. I'll give you my quick assessment of it. I am a fan of the graphic novel that it is based on. It's an Alan Moore work called The Killing Joke. I'm a huge fan of that. Wonderful, wonderful story. I enjoyed the adaptation with the exception of the first 30 minutes. Apparently, to adapt this, it's not very long, but to adapt this, it was going to make it not feature length, apparently. And so they had to add about 30 minutes of something, 30 minutes into the story in order to make it long enough to fit as a feature content.
I think the thing only ran like hour 15, didn't it?
It's like 70 minutes, I think.
Yeah.
But they
had
to add 30 minutes of content, so it was about, you know, it was about 40 minutes if they didn't add that.
Yeah.
So, although what we got to see had a nice little intro with, I almost called him Luke Skywalker. Mark Hamill.
Mark Hamill.
Had a nice little talk about Mark Hamill. Had an intro from the director talking about what they had to do and everything else. It's kind of a big, important thing for them because this is a huge, huge adaptation of a very, very popular story in the Batman universe.
Mm-hmm.
You came from a place where you'd never read the original.
I've always heard of The Killing Joke, but I've never read it.
Yeah.
I've always heard it was a popular, dark, and lately controversial, but I'd never actually read the
Yeah, I will say itself. after seeing it adapted into animation, I prefer there isn't, they really didn't I mean, it's almost panel for panel as far as the book's concerned, but I prefer the book just because the voices in your head are different, the way that lines are delivered in your head are different than the way that, that maybe the voice actors decided to deliver them.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's always that your own interpretation of something. But the first 30 minutes of it are not... I recommend to anybody that's a fan is to skip to the 28-minute mark, which I think is where it is, the 28-minute, 10-second mark. And that's when the adaptation of The Killing Joke starts.
Mm-hmm.
And all the fluff before it ends. The stuff they did to Barbara at the beginning is actually, I consider it to be worse than what the Joker does to Barbara in the actual main story. They completely... Oh, God, it's horrible what they did to her character. And I'm not even coming at it from like a feminist viewpoint or anything about empowerment and stuff like that. No, I don't even... I'm not even looking at that. I just didn't like the idea of the way that she was portrayed... Because that is not, it's not Barbara for one, and it ain't Batgirl for two. That's just not, that's not the way that I've ever read any of her books, any of her character being displayed in both the comics or any other medium that she's been in. So you had no problem with it, though.
I didn't have a problem with it. I mean, like I said, didn't read the books, the comics or anything like that. It seemed to be Batgirl was portrayed as the thrill seeker who, like, spoiler territory if anybody is listening, still listening.
He's got a crush on Batman.
Yeah, crush on Batman. Thrill seeker. Hasn't gone to the abyss yet, like he, like you said.
Yeah.
Hasn't gone to that dark place that vigilante work takes you to.
Yeah, I just...
So she got her rude awakening, so to speak. But you say that that's not...
Well, I mean,
character.
But look at it. Did it? What did it do to the... Did it do anything to that story? To the Killing Joke story? Did it add anything for you?
I guess it made me, you felt more for Barbara, like you should have got out earlier or something like that, I guess. I mean, her character display didn't really do anything to take
away
from
Killing
the story
Joke
itself.
I mean, obviously, Killing Joke is not, it's not a Barbara Gordon story. It is a Batman Joker story from the get-go. And... I think there were other ways that they could have done it to fill time that wouldn't have been so much. I think they could have stretched out the story, maybe shown Batman and Joker having some interactions beforehand, what put him in there or how he got out of Arkham. Because when Killing Joke starts, Batman goes to talk to Joker in Arkham and it's not Joker.
Right.
So he's already escaped, or how did he escape or anything like that. I think there's plenty of ways they could have done it than what they did to her character. Because I don't think it added or took away for anything. There was still no... There's no motive. I don't know. There was just... The Killing Joke starts, as far as Barbara's concerned, she's in it for that one scene where she gets shot. That's it. The rest of it is Gordon, Joker, and Batman. That's just me. I just didn't agree with it. Mm-hmm. I didn't agree with what they did for the first 30 minutes. The adaptation itself, fantastic, fine. I still prefer the book, only for the fact that I can make my own interpretations of the lines that are said. And I can make my own interpretation of how that actually ends. But that's, you know, that's your own way to decide of how that goes. Let's open up these bags before we're done here. These bags and these boxes. We got Loot Crate stuff. We're going to speed through this because we are running out of time, and I took a lot of time to talk about Killing Joke and everything else. This is our first one. It's a level up bag. That there we go. I'll open it up over here so you guys can see. First thing we got looks like a shirt, maybe. I don't know what this is. Oh, it's a hoodie. It's got Futurama. You will not. This will not pick up on camera because it's very, very. It's
dark,
black. With,
dark. It's
yeah.
Dark gray on black fabric.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That's Futurama stuff there. Mm-hmm. I'll hand it to you there. You're going to be my put it back in the bag guy.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a tank top. I'm going to guess it's Futurama as well, maybe. No, it's Cthulhu. So there's what's on that one. The tank top.
Giving high fives.
Looks like it.
Yeah, okay.
Touching hands.
Cthulhu gives high fives.
I suppose. I don't know what that's from. Put that over there with you. We're going to be getting out late today. I can already tell. Oh, it's the sock portion. Hey, that's cool. Mega Man socks.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's actually kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, got Mega Man socks. Oh, boy, we got Rick and Morty socks. Rick and Morty socks. Oops, sorry, man.
That's good.
Ooh, this is nice.
If Nate were here, I don't think those would make it home, make it back in the bag.
Probably wouldn't. Voltron t-shirt.
Okay, cool.
By the way, this is why I give these away, because none of this stuff will fit me. And that is all that is in that bag. So if you want to restock that bag, go right ahead. I'm going to try and make this other stuff easier for us. Next box we have is the Loot Anime box. And RJ went ahead and did the service of unsealing these things so that we could go through them. Here is a shirt that has some design on it that I am not familiar with.
What you got?
I don't know what that is.
Goodness.
Maybe somebody in the chat room.
Some Robotech or Attack on Titan or something, or I don't know.
I don't know. There's usually a brochure within the within the box that'll tell me exactly what all this stuff is. I haven't gotten to that part yet. I don't know what this is. It's a Anti-Magic Academy, the 35th Test Platoon.
I've heard of that.
Okay.
Yeah, they're the I think it's something along the lines of some academy that teaches witch hunters and things like that, and the 35th group is like the bottom of the barrel.
Oh, okay. Well, at least you're familiar with it. Yeah. There you go. Here is a gate multi-tool, steel carabiner, bottle opener, hex tool, 5-foot paracord. There.
Oh, gate.
Is this something you're familiar with?
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically, Japanese self-defense force. It's called an action when this gate opens up into their world, and a bunch of sounds like Roman soldiers comes in, tries to attack the place, try to take it over, and the Japanese self-defense force comes in and puts them back. And then they go into their world. So a bunch of modern-day military doing work in this ancient world. So they pretty much have all the advantage in the world going over there.
Yeah, there's a giant poster in here. I have something I don't know what this is. I have no idea what this is. This is, apparently now we know what the shirt and everything else is from.
Squadron theme, huh?
Yeah. And then there's this, and there's just so much here for people to see on the camera. Looks like it's based off of what else was in here, which is, I'm going to put this back in there because that was there.
Squads and teams and...
Yeah, we got you got a manga.
RPGO Blue Steel.
Yep.
Okay.
So there's that. And then there was a Mobile Suit Gundam Assault Kingdom. It's a Gundam MK2. Looks like a figure.
Yeah, a little minifigure.
Yeah, a little minifigure. Mm-hmm. And so I will give you this box.
Okay.
There you go.
Thank you.
Try and go a little bit faster here because we're running out of time. But I know what'll happen. I'll go too fast, and then we will be like, okay, what's next? We're doing the pet crate now. This is stuff for pets. It usually is stuff for dogs. There is a Jetsons t-shirt, of course, with Astro on it.
All right.
I am trying to get that there for you. Yeah. Jetsons t-shirt. There you go, RJ.
Good.
There's a receipt. There is a animal. There's a shirt for your pet that has Elroy and Astro on it.
Okay, I'm about to say, why is Astro on the
kid shirt.
Why is Astro on the human shirt?
Yeah, there you go.
There's always a chew toy of some type.
Does it squeak?
It's a fetch and glow.
Still, does it squeak?
No.
Ah,
does not squeak.
Pointless.
That's pretty much pointless. But that's what that is. I'm going to put it right back in the box because right. There's not much. There's only the last thing left are Barkstronaut Bites. Chicken sausage treats for dogs. That's what's in there for that one. So I'll put that back in.
Did that say Barkstronaut?
Barkstronaut. and then I'll give this box back to you. There you go. There, whatever.
What is that?
All right, now we'll do the loot crate box, and then we'll be getting out of here. Matt Star 4 says, yeah, we're going to be giving these away. I've been hoarding all of these just for the fact that I think we're going to do a big charity raffle thing towards the end of the year for Child's Play, for Penny Arcade's Child's Play charity. And these will be like consolation prizes and stuff that we'll give out. But yeah, none of this is... I'm not kidding. My living room has these boxes still sitting in there. I haven't done anything with them. So... I can't wear these shirts, so I can tell you that right now. I'm not going out there and doing anything with these shirts.
What's the theme on this box?
I don't know what the theme is on this box. This looks futuristic.
Okay.
Something futuristic. So I can't tell what this is.
Hmm.
I can't tell what that is. I can tell what that's from. Never mind. There's a thing at the bottom that says Rick and Morty.
Mm.
So there's a Rick and Morty shirt in there. There you go.
Right.
There is... Oh, this is kind of cool. Kid Robot Mega Man miniseries. Now, this is still sealed, so I have no idea. You can either get Mega Man, the blue one, the green one, Dr. Light, Iceman. I don't know what that other one is. Cutman, maybe? I can't tell who the other... Oh,
yeah,
my God.
On his head.
Never mind. There's a ton that you might have. But you have no idea which one it's going to be. No, Scissorman. Yeah, Cutman. Scissorman.
Yeah, Cutman. Yeah.
Yeah, Cutman's right there. And there's a bunch of different ones. I have no idea which one's in there. And that'll be for you to discover if you ever win this. I'm just going to leave that there.
All
right. I'll leave it right here because there's not much left.
All right.
Oh, this is nice. Here's a loot pin, Star Trek, with the Spock, Live Long and Prosper. There is also I don't know what this is. This is Star Trek The Next Generation, but it's a very thin thing. I don't know. Yeah, go ahead. I don't know what that is. Ooh, is this a comic? There is a comic in here. It's a Valiant published book called 4001 AD. There is that. Then there is the... Oh, that's cool. There's a little book that comes in here, and I guess we'll tell you everything that's in there.
Yeah.
It's the Rick and Morty tea. This thing can... The box that it comes in can all be... You can unfold it and do different things with it. I'm trying to see. Let's see. There's a Rick and Morty thing you can draw. Looks like the Mega Man thing is a red variant figure. It's an exclusive to Loot Crate, so that's probably what that is. That's what this seems to indicate is what it is. And yeah, okay, that's all that's in there. And then the final thing that they gave us is really, really cool, and I'm actually kind of jealous. It's a Mini Masters vehicle of the Planet Express ship from Futurama.
Hmm.
So that's actually very, very cool. I'll put that back in the box. I'll put this back in the box. Ow. And I don't know what.
Still don't know what that is. The description didn't give us a clue
what
that was.
No, it didn't. It didn't. And then here's the box for you, man.
All right.
Thanks for putting those back into the thing and stuff, because we are pretty much out of time. I want to thank everybody for joining us in the chat room and everybody who is listening on the stream and on the radio. Thanks to everybody who grabs us each week from iTunes or however you get our show for later use. We really appreciate it. Go to ingamechat.net and join us on Twitter, Facebook, our forums at colonyofgamers.com. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. You're on Twitch with us. Subscribe to that as well. And if you're on Steam, join our Steam group and join our PS4 community that we've got there. You can join up with us and play games with us and other listeners. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week. And the entire crew should be back next weekend. We will see you next Saturday. Have a good one. Here's music from Hotline Miami.